Hey, is Jeremy?
Jeremy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. Okay. Well, I'm not going to keep you too long, Sergeant. Just wanted to talk to you. The way this basically works out is I want to get a feel for who you are. So I'm just going to be asking you about your life and anything that you want to give me. We'll just have a conversation. Does that work for you?
Sounds good, sounds good.
Okay, now, I've gotten some information the Air Force already provided for me. I understand that you're a staff sergeant with the U.S. Air Force, an information analyst with intelligence operations. And
that's right.
And you've given a pretty decent little description here of what you do, what your basic job is. So we won't have to go into that.
Okay.
And I see that you're in, and help me pronounce this wrong, you're in Panjshir, Afghanistan?
You pronounce it just fine, Panjshir, Afghanistan, that's right.
Okay, FOB Lion?
Bob Lion, right.
Okay. What does FOB stand for anyway? I've never quite wondered about that.
It stands for Fort Operating Base.
Fort Operating Base, okay. All right. And you're out of Davis Monthan Air Force Base in Houston?
Davis Monthan Air Force Base, Arizona.
It's Arizona. I'm sorry.
Right. Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson. I thought I listened to your greeting the other day. For some reason, I thought Houston popped in my mind. You said Tucson, though. Okay.
Oh.
right. And I guess it's your hobbies are reading, you like to off-road, and you like to spend some time with your kids.
Okay.
We're going to get into that a little bit more. And I got your wife and your mother's names. And I haven't called them yet, but I'll give them a call in a little bit and probably get some quotes from them as well.
Sounds good. I can get you my mom's cell phone. She'll enjoy the shit out of that.
Yes, I don't have their numbers. So that would be best. Okay.
Good deal.
So this is, if I'm reading this right, this is your ninth deployment to Afghanistan?
This is my ninth deployment. This is my second one to Afghanistan.
Second one to Afghanistan? Okay, maybe we can write that down. Second deployment. This is your ninth deployment in all. So how long have you been in the service?
I've been in 9 years.
9 years. It's a long time. How many, so you're not going to make it home for Christmas. How many of them have you had to miss?
I missed last year's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping to be home for this year's Christmas.
Oh, you think you might be home for this year's Christmas?
There's a chance of it.
There's a chance of it? Okay. Write that down. Be home. Now, you have to forgive me as I'm writing. I'm a bit of a slow writer because I like to make sure I get everything correctly, and I haven't quite mastered shorthand yet.
That's all right, Johnny. I'm kind of a slow talker, so take your time.
No, okay. Let's see here. All right. I guess we'll start, put on a list of topics here. I guess we'll start with your home life. Tell me a little bit about you. You grew up here in Elvin?
Sure. My dad moved us there when I was just starting high school.
Just started.
He retired Air Force out of Maryland, and we moved back out to Elgin there. Like I said, right around my freshman, sophomore year in high school.
Okay. Your dad had retired from the Air Force out of Maryland, and then he moved his family up to down to Elgin.
Right.
I assume you have family down here, grandparents, aunts, uncles, stuff like that?
Yep, sure do.
Okay.
The Lodge Clan. That kind of settled right there in Elgin.
The Lodge Clan. All right, I'll put that down. That's actually pretty good. All righty. And what made you want to join the military?
Oh, a couple different reasons. Wanted to get out and see a good bit of the world. I've seen a good portion of it with my dad being in the military, but through a child died. But I wanted to get out there and experience it for myself. So,
okay. Hold on just a second, okay? I want to write that down. That's a good quote. Is able to see a good portion of it with my dad in the military. But, and I'll be doing this probably pretty randomly, but that was through a child's eyes. I wanted to get out and experience it for myself. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead and continue.
No worries. My buddy of mine was here in the Air Force, so went with him to go see what it was about. Next thing I knew, I got enrolled in the Air Force.
All right, you roll right out of high school?
I spent a couple of years doing the college thing. Joined when I was 21.
When you were 21, too. Okay, so a couple of years after college. Yeah, I'm 31 myself. So I can, I actually joined the Army right out of high school myself, or at least the semester after, you know, after the summer.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't there long, but it's kind of the same thing. I wanted to go to college and experience, look at the world a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you have been in the military then since about 2000. Tell me about some of your experiences.
I started off the Air Force as an aircraft maintainer. Through the majority of my deployments through there, I was stationed in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Real cold up there, but they deployed us to a nice hot day to keep us warm from time to time.
Grand Forks, North Dakota?
Grand Forks, North Dakota, roger.
Grand Forks.
It was about 2006. I was an instructor down in Texas for my career field as an instructor. And the Air Force decided they needed to retrain me, asked me what I wanted to do, and I picked intelligence. So from about 2006, 2007, went to school, and then they stationed me out in Davis-Monthan. I've been there ever since.
School in Tucson, and you've been there ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me get that correct. You started off as an aircraft maintainer, and you were stationed out of Grand Forks, North Dakota. And then by 2006, you were down in Texas teaching, and the Air Force decided that they wanted to train you to start learning intelligence. So you attended school in Tucson at the Davis-Maupin for about that time, and you've been down there ever since.
Yeah, I attended the school in South Texas.
Oh,
and I ended up going for the intel training, and then as soon as I was done with that, they moved me out to Arizona.
South Texas, okay. So the training was done in South Texas. Let me make sure I write that down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By the way, how warm is it over there right now?
No, it's actually not too bad. We're sitting around about 40, 45 degrees.
I don't know if you talked to your mom or your wife, but we had a nice little ice storm last night.
My wife, she emailed me, said she got stuck on some ice a little bit. Wanted to know if she could put it in a four-wheel drive. I told her that's not recommended.
Well, it's the kind of ice that every step you take, you're afraid you feel like you're gonna fall down. It's melting nicely, but it's not fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it can get dangerous.
Yeah, it can be. Man, it started freezing rain last night about 4:30, and by about 4:45, boom, already had our first wreck in town. So, yeah, things don't change. So, tell me a little bit about some of your deployments. I mean, I see here that you did Operation Northern Watch, and they got several other things listed as abbreviations or just initials.
Roger,
I'm not sure what they
are. When I was with Grand Forks, the aircraft I supported up there was a KC-135 Stratotanker.
Okay, hold on.
With an air refueler.
Let me write that
and,
down.
A
JC what?
It was a KC, Kilo Charlie.
Oh, Charlie?
-135.
K QC135.
Sorry about that, Johnny. It's like Kilo, Kilo Charlie.
QO. Okay.
Hey, Johnny?
Yeah?
Alright, it's a K, as in carrot.
Yeah.
You spoke Kilo. Alright. And C as in Charlie.
Right. Like Kansas City.
Kansas City. There you go. Yeah, Casey. There you go.
Kansas City dash 135 jet.
That's it. It's a Stratomaker.
Strato. And by the way, I'm going to be emailing you all this when I get it written up, so that you can look it up and make sure that the facts are all correct, and then just send it back to me. And let me know what I need to change before it goes in the paper. So,
okay, that's good.
So if I get that wrong, just correct it for me. So you were working on one of those in Texas? North Dakota.
Actually in North Dakota.
North Dakota? Okay.
Yeah. And they, basically with that mission, they would make what they call air bridges.
Yeah.
Ferry jets from one end of the world to the next.
Yeah.
And for Operation Northern Watch, we were stationed in Turkey, and we were deployed to Turkey, and we were covering all the missions going into northern Iraq right before 2003.
Okay, so in 2003, you were stationed in Turkey covering air bridges and while watching where the jets came into northern Iraq.
Right.
It's coming into northern Iraq. And you were you flying the KC-135 at the time?
Or just no, I was just maintaining them.
Just maintaining it?
Making sure all the pieces and parts worked.
Okay. Alrighty. And that was Operation Northern Watch?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then quickly rolled into Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Operation Iraqi Freedom? So you took
part in that? Yeah, I was there around the same time I was there that it changed from Northern Watch to Iraqi Freedom.
Soon turned into...
when the war kicked off.
Yeah, I see that you put down you didn't have any, you didn't have to deal with much combat experience, I see. Is that what
no,
it was?
No,
okay.
No. I was always on the outside of the fight until now.
Are you having to deal with any of it right now?
We go out on missions pretty much almost daily.
Daily missions. I'm going to put down that you said I was pretty much on the outside of it until now.
Mm-hmm.
On the outside of it. Until now. So how do you feel about constantly traveling all over the world? I mean, 9 deployments, three, 4 months apiece. That's a long time to be out there.
It is, yeah. Before I was married and had kids, it was actually not a problem. Now I'm married and have 2 kids and 2 dogs. It's getting a little harder to do, you know?
Yeah. It was actually not much of a problem. Now I'm married. Did you say with 2 kids?
2 kids?
Did you say you had 2 kids?
Yes, John, 2 kids and 2 dogs.
2 kids and 2 dogs. It's getting harder. Okay. Right, well, tell me a little bit about your family. Tell me about Jennifer and your kids. When did you guys meet?
Jennifer, I met shortly after I joined the military. We met down in Mississippi. Hmm. Kind of hit it off from there. She was a New Orleans girl, so I go and visit her when she was going to LSU. And I ended up getting orders up to North Dakota, and she ended up following me. I figured any girl that followed me to North Dakota and deal with that kind of cold was probably a keeper.
Yeah. That's a great line. Anybody that would follow me, and deal with that kind of cold, is probably a keeper. when did you guys get married?
We got married, Jeremy, you're going to get me in trouble.
Like, you got to remember this stuff.
I got the date, and I got married in September. 2000 and... Well, we just had our six-year anniversary, so that puts us at 2004.
September of 2004. Okay.
Yep.
All right. What's she doing here now? What's her job?
She was working with the, I forget the name of the school over there. It's right across the street from the high school. Working with the, she was secretary for the handicapped kids.
She works
at Barbary Hills, does that sound right?
Barbary Hills?
Barbary Hills or Dogwood Hills? Something like that. I'm not sure the name of it.
Dogwood Hills. I'll double check on that.
Okay.
That's with the Eldon School District?
Yeah, it's a school for handicapped children.
Mm-hmm.
Right across the street from high school.
Captured. I've probably seen it. I just can't off the top of my head. Can't think of a better crowd. I'll put down here on my notes across from high school, and I'll double check that and make sure I get the right name of it.
Okay.
But she's the secretary over there. Okay.
Right.
And what about your kids?
My son, he's the oldest. He's 4 years old.
Okay.
My daughter, she turned 1 in July, so she's about 16, 17 months old now.
Were you able to make it home for her birthday?
No, I was not there for her birthday.
Hmm.
I haven't been there for two of her birthdays now. I wasn't there when she was born, and I wasn't able to make it back for her first birthday either.
So you're looking forward to seeing her when you get home, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She's walking, she's talking, and I hear she's got a little bit of an attitude now.
Talking. I hear she has a little bit of an attitude now. Well, that's always good.
Yeah.
What's your son's name?
His name is Tyler.
Tyler. And your daughter?
Riley.
Riley, Tyler, and Riley. That R-I-L-E-Y?
Right.
Okay. So, and looking forward to seeing them. Okay. What about a little bit about your parents? I mean, I've got in here, you seem to have a rich military history in your family. Your mother, your father, your aunt, your grandfather. It says your mother traced your ancestry all the way back to the Civil War. How does that make you feel?
Actually, you know what? I was talking to my mom about that tonight, and she corrected me. She said it went all the way back to the Revolutionary War.
Wow, that's even... So...
And, you know, in 1776, she had one of those great-great-great-uncles, or however that far back you go for that, was taken as a prisoner of war during the Revolutionary War.
So, not only are you a true American serving your country, but your family has been true American since the very day we became a country. That's impressive. That is very impressive.
I'll tell you what, it fills you with a sense of pride, you know?
Huh?
It definitely fills you with a sense of pride.
Definitely fills you with a sense of pride. Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, my father was in the military, my brother is, and I was, but back farther than that, I'm not sure. you know, if my grandfather was or not. So to be able to look back and say, you know, my family was doing something, you know, to found this country, and I'm still here supporting it. That's overwhelming. So thank you for that. That's really, really cool. Anything you'd like to say more about that? Okay. Let me see here. Oh, it's okay. We talked about your service career and, you know, military history and your Christmas. Let me see. So what are your, you got some of your hobbies. You like to reading, off-roading. Would you like to go any further into that, your hobbies?
I'll tell you what, this place here definitely gives me an opportunity to do some off-roading.
Gives you opportunity to do what? I'm sorry.
To do that, off-roading.
Oh, to do off-roading? What kind of ATV do you use, or you use in your trucks?
Oh, we got a Toyota Hilux truck here.
Trucks? I'm sorry, you said high-engine trucks? It's a
Hilux?
It's a little staticky, what?
H-I-L-U-X.
H-I-L-U-X. Oh, yeah. Hilux. So you get into jump some sand dunes? I mean, I'm not, a picture of my mind in Afghanistan is desert and sand dunes, so.
Yeah, not where we're at, Jerry. Where we're at, it's pretty mountainous. We're in the Hindu Kush Mountains.
Pretty mountainous.
You're talking elevations of, you know, 14,000, 18,000 feet in some places.
14,000 feet in the Hindu Kush Mountains, huh?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, because, again, you know, you think of, a typical American thinks of that area over there, you think of, you know, desert, but a lot of people don't realize that there are some areas that, you know, kind of look like Canada a little bit, you know, mountainous, green,
lush. Absolutely, yeah, Afghanistan, the size of Texas, and southern Afghanistan, you've got the Red Desert, and it's exactly what you were just talking about. You know, sand dunes, the whole nine yards, real hot, dusty, pretty windy most times. But up here in the Panjshir Valley, northern Afghanistan, it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, every view you look at, it's a postcard, you know?
I like that. Every view is a postcard. That's good. That's really good. Okay. Tell me a little bit, Derek, about some of your goals and future plans. I mean, are you looking to make military a career? Are you looking to retire? You got anything else you're looking to do?
I'm looking to do 20 years with the military. Like I said, right now I'm stationed at Davis-Monthan, but I'm not doing this here. but when I get done here, I'm trying to look to see if I can't find a set of orders to take me to the Florida area. Illinois.
Well, that's a big jump, either Florida or Illinois.
Florida, Illinois. And there's multiple reasons for that. Illinois puts me close to mom and dad, and the kids can stay with their grandparents, you know, or get to know their grandparents pretty easily. But Florida, I mean, that's just fun in the sun right there.
So you definitely hope that you'll get orders to bring you back home. And if you would like Florida, because like you said, that's just fun and fun. But Illinois, sure. Illinois would be a little more practical to for your family. Your kids would be, you'd be closer to your mom and dad. Yeah. And your kids could hang out with their grandparents. I assume that was Jennifer's parents live up in Illinois?
No, Jennifer's parents, her dad lives down in Louisiana.
Okay.
Her mom lives out in Arizona.
What part of Illinois are you thinking of?
We're across the river from St. Louis there.
Oh.
The base called Scott Air Force Base.
Scott Air Force Base, yeah. I know about Scott. Yeah, I know about Scott. Okay. All right. So are you wanting to stick with intelligence? Anything else you wanting to do
I'm going to stick with this. It's a really good job. It's very challenging. I really enjoy it.
Really good job. It's challenging. And enjoyable. All right. Now, you tell me that it looks like you might be able to make it home for Christmas. Do you think have they given you a definite on that? Have they given you any idea that how do I write this up so I don't get, you know, your friend's hopes up and then things change at the last minute?
Well, we've got a program, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with it, Jimmy, R&R.
Yeah, R&R.
I'm quite done with my deployment here, but it's time for a little break, you know, kind of recharge the batteries. So the time frame that they asked me what I wanted to take, and I told them, well, Christmas sounds like you have the right choice, you know, get home to see the kids and watch them open up their presents. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to make that happen.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody
is. Probably about 90% solution at this point.
90%. I'm sorry, say that again?
So it's probably about a 90% solution at this point.
90% solution? What do you mean by that?
There's a very good chance that I'll be home for Christmas.
Oh, 90% solution, okay.
Exactly right.
I didn't quite understand. I wasn't quite getting what you're saying. You said it's about a 90% chance you think that will probably happen.
Exactly.
Okay. Are you still keeping your fingers crossed either way?
Still keeping your fingers crossed because anything can happen.
Anything.
Things change all the time.
In fact, I was just reading this morning that looks like Al Qaeda's threatening to attack us during the holidays again. I think they do that every year, but...
They're always threatening.
They threaten that every Christmas. It's become a Christmas tradition like Charlie Brown, but...
Exactly.
It's got something you got to take seriously. So, like I said, anything can happen. Okay. So plans are when you get home, you know, other than spending all your time you can with your family, watching them open presents, visiting your mom and dad, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly right. My sister, my niece, my grandmother, my cousins.
Niece, grandmother. Cousins. Okay. All right. Pretty much wrapping this up, Derek. I think I got a lot of good information. But is there anything else you'd like to make sure you said?
I will put a little plug in for the professional reconstruction team that I'm working with here.
Okay, tell me about that.
All right. It's a very unique organization. It's been around a couple of years, but it's just now starting to get some real heavy attention.
Okay.
There are 13 U.S.-led PRCs in Afghanistan.
U.S.-led PRCs. What is a PRC?
PRC is a Provincial Reconstruction Team.
Provincial Reconstruction Team. I saw that this was you were a PRT Pangier. I wasn't quite sure what that meant. But okay.
Basically, what our job here is to do is to work very closely with the with our Afghan partners and the government within the Afghan National Army, within the Afghan National Police, and work closely in building their capacity to sustain their government. Essentially, build good governance, build some sort of stable economy, so that we can eventually leave here and things keep going in a progressive manner.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And so you're basically helping to try to not only to train the Afghan soldiers and to help build up the government, so that one day you can deploy, come home, and they can stand on their own.
Exactly.
Similar to what they did in Iraq.
Exactly right.
Build a good government.
The team we've got.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, the team we've got here, probably the best and brightest I've ever worked with. Very sharp and very effective at what they do. Very proud to be a part of this provincial reconstruction team.
Very sharp. Best and brightest at what they do. Very sharp. Very proud to work with them. And very proud to be part of this team. Am I getting that right?
Yep, exactly right.
Okay, go ahead.
And if last thing I'll say about it is we're about 60 kilometers from the nearest grocery store, if you will, the nearest PX. So if anyone wants to send something, send chicken grease.
From nearest PX. Okay, English that up for me. Kilometers is about...
Oh, shoot. Let me think about that for a second. What is it? 10K is 6 miles.
6 miles?
Yeah. So, 6 times 6, 36 miles? Yeah, there. About 40 miles.
About 40 miles. 60 kilometers or 40 miles from the nearest PX. So you said you're looking to get something and send
it?
So you would love, you would love supplies. I get it. I see what you're saying. Which about half an hour drive or more to buy, you know, toilet paper. So if anybody wants to send us anything, we'll gladly accept it. I get what you're saying there.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a joke.
That's always good. That's always good. Be a good government. Seeming good governments. Build good governments and stable economy so we can one day leave. I wanted to make sure I got that right. And I'll clean that up a little bit, too. All right. Derek, I think I've got some pretty good information. And, again, if I have any questions, you know, and I'll be calling your wife and your mother to, you know, get some opinions from them as well. But from what you sent with the Air Force and what you told me, I think I got some good information. And I will be sending you a copy of this in the next day or so when I have it written. Look it over. If there's any facts I got wrong, please don't hesitate to let me know. We want to make sure not only that the article is to your liking, but it's accurate, correct, and reflects well on you, because we are all very, very proud of you here. So...
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
You're very, very welcome. And you stay safe down there. If I have any questions, I'll email you.
Will do. All right.
Take
care.
Thanks a lot, Derek. Bye.